Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Praise the Lord. So it is the will of God for you to prosper or to be fruitful. Is that right? And he said that you might, that I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So that is the different dimensions of you prospering. Praise God. So like I said to us in the beginning of the teaching, I said the revelation you believe in is the revelation that works for you. Hallelujah. If you believe, if the revelation you walk in is the revelation that works for you. So you need to come to a point in your life that you believe in your heart that you are going to prosper. You're going to be fruitful in every area of your life. Praise God. Fruitfulness, John chapter 15, verse 18. Fruitfulness is what brings God glory. Once again, fruitfulness in your life is what brings God glory. John 15, verse 8. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So it is the will of God. It is the desire of God. It is the will of God. It is the intention of heaven that you bear much fruit. Hallelujah. In scripture, Matthew 5, verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine. The word so there, it could have said, let your light shine. Praise God. And that would have been fine, isn't it? But it says, let your, the King James puts it, says, let your light what? So shine. That means that there's a level of brightness. There is a degree of brightness that is critical. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's a degree of brightness. You know, as we are here now, this stage looks bright, doesn't it? Yes, this stage looks bright compared to some parts of this hall, isn't it? So, in other words, there's a way that God desires your light to shine. Is that okay? That shining becomes significant enough either to cause change or to cause transformation or to make impact. Praise God. So he says, let your light so shine. That means that, yes, you can shine a little bit and it's good. Is that okay? But remember John, where we just read. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. In other words, if you just bear fruit, you've tried. But what? God wants you to bear what? Much fruit. That is that you become fruitful, you know, in many ways, in diverse ways, in abundant ways. Praise God. So God wants you to say, let your light so shine. So there's an emphasis. Is that right? On the strength of your light, there's an emphasis. Praise God. It's very important. There's an emphasis on the strength of your light. Your light has to shine and has to shine very brightly. Because sometimes when the intensity of your light is low, there is little that you can do. Praise God. If your house is dark and you strike a match and you hold, is that light? When you strike a match and you hold, is that light? But can that light find anything reasonable for you? No, it cannot find anything reasonable for you, isn't it? You need to get a torchlight, you need to get a lamp, isn't it? So that you can have brightness. So the degree of the light you are releasing determines how impactful that light is and how useful that light is for you. Praise God. So it says, let your light so shine before men. That is that God doesn't want you to just be. You know, that's why if you read Genesis, it says, and the Lord blessed man, and he said to man, be fruitful. And what? Multiply. Listen to me. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, their subdued, and have dominion are diverse dimensions of fruitfulness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is just fruitfulness in different dimensions. So when I'm fruitful, it simply means that I'm being productive. That means that I have the capacity to produce. Is that all right? When a woman has a child, is that okay? When you say when a woman has a child, when she gives birth, she's fruitful. Are you understanding that? When she has four children, five children, six children, she's not just there's a level of multiplication that is coming out of her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God doesn't want you to just be fruitful. He said, be fruitful. And then what do? You multiply. That is that you reproduce that fruitfulness in a larger, are you understanding that? In a larger capacity, in a larger, in multiple ways, you are reproducing that. So the Bible says, let your light so shine. That means that God doesn't want your light to just shine a little bit. You know that song we used to sing? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So you may have a little light today, but let that light shine. God wants that light to shine, to go further, to go brighter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So understand this. God wants us to be fruitful. And God wants our light to shine. God wants the brightness of his glory that is over us to shine. Amen. So, we have seven different levels or types of fruitfulness. We've talked about it, and we're going to go through it. So, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to go through all the seven. We're going to walk on all the seven. Then I'm going to come back to a particular one. In fact, I'm going to make that announcement on Sunday. So we're going to walk on all the seven. Then I'm going to come back and stay on a particular one that I feel the Spirit of the Lord wants me to spend more time on it. So the first one we looked at is the fruit of repentance. Praise the Lord. We looked at what? The fruit of what? Repentance. And when we're talking about the fruit of repentance, we said something very important. We said that when a person is saved, is that okay? That there are things in the life of that person that shows that the person is saved. Without those things, we cannot prove a true encounter with the Lord. Listen to me. In very simple terms, salvation means that what? The Bible says with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is in a very simple, straightforward, technical position, a man is saved. Are you understanding that? But do you know that there are people who came to a meeting and they were told that if you become saved, you're going to prosper. Or if you become, maybe somebody teaches on prosperity and makes an altar call on the strength of the message of prosperity. So the person that came out for salvation did not come out because he wanted to know God. Not because he wanted to have a relationship with Jesus, but because he wanted to prosper. So are you understanding what I'm saying? So he believed, but his belief was so that he can prosper. So God is a tool in it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now listen to me. That person, I was at a meeting recently, and some of you might have seen the video, and I was at the meeting when Isaac Oedipo was sharing, when he said that when he was in South Africa, he was pastoring in South Africa, and the church that he was pastoring was growing. He had about 8,000 members. The church was just growing and growing. That one day he said, look, let's test this thing, because we are just, let's check this thing. Listen to me. Let me share this with you. Success is more difficult to sustain than becoming successful. Many times people don't understand it. Let me tell you something. Many people look at somebody and say, this person is successful. And they feel like, success is more difficult to sustain. It's more difficult to sustain success than to become successful. So, he said, let's go and check this thing. So they started calling on the list of people, you know, that they made a call. And they called one guy. And they asked him, they said, are you so-and-so? Yes. He said, yes. Is this your address? He said, yes. They said, so they now said to him that we're calling from so-so church to check on you. Then he said, which church?
They said, no, you were in the church on so-so date. You gave your life to Christ. He said, him. Dad, no, it was not him. Are you so-so person? He said, yes. Is this your address? He said, yes. But you were here. They made altar call. He said, he cannot remember anything like that happened. Obviously, for the conclusion, and I'm not the one that said, go and check the video. Obviously, the guy was drunk when he arrived church. And, you know, I don't want to go into some things. And, you know, somebody just told me something today. Yesterday, there was a meeting. And in the meeting, they gave out flyers. It was a conference, so they gave out flyers and said, go and invite somebody to come with you tomorrow. Tomorrow, tell the people, we're going to be giving out 1,000 bags of rice for first-time worshippers. So do you think if that person comes, except for a genuine encounter, do you really think that that person, when you make altar call, if you are the one that you make altar call and there's one bag of rice, if God has not already touched you before you became born again, did you get that? God touched you before you became born again. If you hear that they are giving one bag of rice because you, are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen, let me tell you something. It's the reason why we are not seeing. There are many things you call born again. It's not born again, no. Many things we are calling born again. These people, because, so I was trying to explain something when I got to Isaac Oedipo's story. Obviously, the guy came under the influence. Everything that happened in that church that day, he did not, are you hearing what I'm saying? I know of a bishop, I can't remember, I think he's in Ibadan or so. I know of a bishop there. When I met him, he was almost 70 years. I don't know whether he's still, because that was close to 20 years ago. I don't know whether he has gone to be with the Lord or not. He said he was in Bauchi here, and he was passing. And Reverend Thompson, what's his full name? Reverend Thompson in Jos, that is people's TREM, TREM, Redeem People's Mission, RPM, Redeem People's Mission, was preaching in Bauchi in the 70s. And he was passing, and he had the people preaching. He was drunk. He walked into the stadium, gave his life to Christ. Woke up the next morning, he could remember that something happened. He went to a program. They made an altar call. He came out. He woke up in the night, you know, like in the night, early morning. Then he said to the Lord, he was in the Nigerian Civil War. He didn't go to school. He doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to write. When they were just recruiting people for war, he just joined the recruits. He doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to write. He doesn't know anything. So when he woke up in the night around 3 a.m., he said, Bishop Olumoye, he said to the Lord, he said, if it is true that yesterday that thing that happened, that I was actually saved, teach me to read my Bible. He said he just had somebody knock his head. The only thing Bishop Olumoye can do is that Bible. Bishop Olumoye cannot even do his signature, the same thing twice. So anytime he wants to sign checkbook, the bank has to come and be sure that he was the one that signed it. But he can read his Bible. And he has written book. He has written book. Yes. Praise God. I have a copy of his book here with me. So, I'm not saying that somebody cannot be. There cannot be a genuine. Because there's something I want to say. I'm not saying there cannot be an encounter with the Lord. It doesn't matter if there can be an encounter. But listen to me. It's not everybody that actually had an encounter with the Lord. And we have to be very, very careful. All right. So, technically speaking, strict to sense, when we say somebody is saved, it means the man has believed in the Lord Jesus and has confessed him as his Lord and Savior, right? But now, listen, that transition of believing and confessing, there is usually an encounter you must have. There will be an encounter with the Lord. Within that period of time, there will be an encounter. If you have not had that encounter, We have to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that encounter will inform certain things in your life. When you meet a man that has met the Lord, you will know. Let me tell you something. When you meet a man that has met the Lord, there is a fear of God that he has because he has met him. If you, you know, all of you that are insulting dignitaries, just come here, insult Tinubu, you come, you insult governor, you come, you insult this one. You don't know. If Tinubu walks through this door, you will, all that insult you are doing, you will be the humility that will come on you. If the governor just walks in here, you will just discover that you are nice. You just discover. So what I'm telling you is that many things that people do, they didn't have an encounter. When you have an encounter, you will, are you hearing what I'm saying? It will leave certain things, something will happen to you. It will, now listen to me. Many people have not really met him. They heard about him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They heard about him. Something was taught about him. They heard the message. Sometimes it even makes sense to them, but they have never encountered him. When you meet a man who has encountered God, one of the things that you will discover about a man who has truly encountered God is that there is a fear of God that he has. That he may misbehave, but when you push him, you will arrive at a point. Because he has met him, there's a fear of God that he has. So when we begin to assess a man that is saved, when we begin to look at what is called the fruit of repentance, are you hearing what I'm saying? We begin to look at the capacity of that person to repent. In other words, sir, repentance is not something you did one time before. If you are a believer, repentance is an ongoing thing in your life. Now, ma, you are not repenting for the same thing that happened 20 years ago when you met the Lord. No. Every time the Lord lifts up something before you and shows it to you, you repent. Every time the Lord, are you understanding what I'm saying? Every time the Lord brings up something to you and says your life is not conforming to this particular thing, you repent. In other words, so you have a continuous state of repentance. So you are continually adjusting your life to that picture that you saw at that moment of encounter. That's what it means to be a believer. So when you hear people saying, I will never, it's possible he has not met the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When somebody tells you, I will never apologize, you haven't met the Lord. If you've met the Lord, you will apologize. Except the Lord has not told you to apologize. No, you have not met the Lord. If you hear somebody say, I will never forgive, you haven't met the Lord. If you have met the Lord, you will forgive. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Anytime, even if you didn't say it with your mouth, you will. Let me tell you something. Even if you are trying to make up your mind about it, that is where the Holy Spirit will arrest you. So we begin to quantify and we begin to check your salvation. First, on your ability, when we talk about the fruit of repentance, on your capacity for repenting. So Jesus gave a parable. He said the man had two sons. Then he told one, go to the farm. He said, I will not go. He said to the other one, go to the farm. He said, the one said, I will go. Then later, the one that said, I will not go, changed his mind and went. The one that said, I will go, eventually didn't go. So Jesus asked, who of these two obeyed their father? Was it the one that said, I will not go, and then went? Or is it the one that said, I will go, but did not? Jesus is showing us a picture there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That when a man truly has met the Lord, even when you say with your mouth, I will not do, when the Holy Spirit convicts you about that thing, nobody will tell you to come to the place of repentance. So the first question I want to ask you is that, are you repenting? Do you have the capacity to repent? And you know what? It is through consistent repentance. It is through consistent repentance that God works on your life and brings out the real stature of Christ in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see a person that has not developed in his walk with the Lord, who has not made progress in his walk with the Lord, you see a man that does not repent. I don't want to go too deep. But last, I don't know that last week or so, I began to teach you about, you see a man who knows how to resist the Spirit. And when you keep resisting the Spirit, you eventually quench the Spirit. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? The Holy Spirit stops talking to you. And the Bible will say to us in Romans 1 that when you arrive at that point, he gives you over to a reprobate mind to do those things, the Bible says, that are not good. So you will arrive at a point that you can be doing things that are not, you know it is not right, you will enter into it and your conscience doesn't even bug you any longer. You feel comfortable in it. You know, are you hearing what I'm saying? You feel comfortable in living a life of disobedience. Hallelujah. So we see the first fruit of the man, or first fruit of repentance in a man that is a believer, is that he is what? Consistently repenting. That if I was talking with you, sir, and for any reason, in the midst of my conversation with you, I said something to you that I ought not to say. If I lied while talking to you, then lying sometimes does not mean directly lying. If I exaggerated, I'm talking to you and I exaggerated. If I was talking to you and the story I gave here, maybe I and you were talking and I said, you know, I traveled with Emmanuel and they came and met me and his wife. I said they were trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And I said to them, kneel down, let me pray for you. And I felt the anointing in my hand as I was praying for them. It's a lie. They didn't kneel down. You didn't feel any anointing. Even me too, I'm surprised. Are you hearing me? The purpose for the story I even told you was that I was so surprised that it was this afternoon, it just occurred to me that in a light-hearted conversation that we were having, then he was there, in a light-hearted conversation that we were having, I said to them, you will give birth on my birthday. That was what I told. I said, this thing that's happening. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if in representing the matter to you, I said, man of God. You know, I gave these guys a word, you know. I was just praying for them. I didn't pray for them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, let me assume that I said that to you. And you left wherever we're having the conversation. And the Holy Spirit comes to you. I don't know whether the Holy Spirit ever comes to you. And the Holy Spirit says, Carson, want to have a career in a go? Carson, it was a lie you lied. Eh? You know you didn't pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Repenting means that at that moment, I say, oh Lord, are you getting my point? And if it is something that has affected you in such a way that has caused you harm, then I even ought to find a way to find you and say, brother, the other day I told you something that was not completely correct. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is what James says, that confess your faults one to another. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? It is at that point are you getting my point? And if perhaps you were talking with me and you kept your tablet, and in the course of the conversation with you, I slipped your tablet into my pocket, and you woke up and said, why is my tablet? I said, did you come here with tablet? And you left, and the Lord said to me, Habba, Habba. You see, that was what God did to Ananias and Sapphira, but they did not have the wisdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They did not know that this was the moment when they have said, sir. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? That is why the Bible says that to he that knows and refuses to do it, then to him it is a sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And scripture will then say to us that if you judge yourself, then you will not be judged. But if you do not judge yourself, then you will be condemned with the world. In other words, that there were certain things that the Holy Spirit told you in secret between you and him, and you refuse to align, then God will now of a necessity make it public. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So then therefore you must have a heart posture that repents. You must have, that's why you must be very careful about your dealings with the Holy Spirit. You must have a, are you hearing what I'm saying? You must have a heart posture that repents. That is, listen to me. That is why if you go to buy something in the market and you give somebody 500 naira and you bought something of 400 naira and there's 100 naira in between you people, you know most of these Hausa people, they will tell you, Kaje ina bin gabashi. See, let go of that 100 naira. Because you know that I may never meet this guy. And I'm above 100 naira. I can let go of 100 naira. You're not understanding what I'm saying. You know you will never repay that 100 naira. Something may never bring you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Paul said, I have done everything to live with a clear conscience before men and before God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? So there is a repenting that we are continuous, we are all continuously in a state of repenting. We are continuously in a state of repenting. If you don't, are you hearing what I'm saying? It can be in small things and it can be in big things. It can be that you spoke to someone the way you should not speak to the person. And it is not always that the Holy Spirit convicts you, but your conscience convicts you. You walked away from the person that you spoke to carelessly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You spoke to the person carelessly. And that way you spoke, it has the capacity to create offense in the heart of that person. You walked away and your conscience judged you and said to you, you should not have spoken that way. Repenting means you look for the next opportunity you are meeting. I say, Pastor Mao, sorry for the way I spoke the other day. I was, whatever it was, might have been your reason. I didn't even know that I spoke that way until I walked away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, listen to me. That is actually what marks you as a Christian. You are not hearing. Did you hear what I said? That is what actually marks you as a Christian. It is the unbeliever that can do anything he wants to do and then walks away and doesn't. In fact, if you make the mistake of confronting the person and say, you didn't do like, oh, didn't. He will even use it as a position to fight. Now, listen to me. The way our world has been conditioning us was that if we did something that was wrong and we ought to repent, we have been taught that we must not show weakness. That repentance has been defined as a form of weakness. So every time you have, are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time you came to say sorry, the world told you, why did you have to say sorry? But I said sorry because the other person doesn't have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God. And if there's any, are you hearing me? And the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So in other words, I am acting as a son. That is what marks the fact that I am a son of God. So the Bible will say to us in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that the Bible says he came to his own, verse 11, and his own received him not. But as many as have received him, to them he gave the power. In other words, I have the power to repent, sir. Power to repent is not that I have been humiliated. Power to repent is that I have the capacity to live above my flesh, to live above the impulses of this world. I have the capacity to do it. So the instructions of Scripture are not given to the people of this world. They are given to sons. So as many as have received him, he has given them the power. So, to become the sons of God, even as many as believed in his name, who were not born by the will of man, or born by blood, but were born by the will of God. Tonight, if there's one of the things I pray for us, is that God will give us the grace that when He speaks, we will answer. We will respond. We will respond. So the first thing we show when the Bible talks about the fruits of repentance is the capacity for repenting. The capacity for repenting. And it is in repenting that we are met, we metamorphose. We become like Him. The word be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word be transformed, the word as used transform there is the Greek word metamorphose. In other words, it means to be transformed into a higher dimension, into a higher being. So every time I'm obedient to the Holy Spirit, there's a transformation. I'm moving from who I am to who He is. Don't be a hard guy. Be a Jesus guy. Hallelujah. The waves and the storm don't obey hard guys. They obey Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight? Don't live your life in malice. Don't live your life in malice. You have a record of people you are in malice with them. Don't live your life in malice. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, number one is bring forth the fruits of repentance. And I said to you, the fruit of repentance is knowing to repent. The fruit of repentance is character, building the fruit of the Spirit, which I will not go into today. Then the next kind of fruit that we must bring out is the fruit of your hand. Look at your hand and said, my hands are blessed. Tell someone, my hands are blessed. Hallelujah. My hands are blessed. Praise God. The Bible says, speaking about your hand, He said that holy hands will be lifted. He's referring to your hand. That's why the Bible said to you in the book of Psalms, He said, oh God, He said, the scepter of the wicked shall not rest upon the Lord that is allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch forth his hands into iniquity. Because your hands are blessed. Your hands are blessed. And when we talk about your hands, we're not just meaning this your physical hand. We're talking about anything that you use for the purpose of productivity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Anything that is used for the purpose of productivity in your life is blessed. Your mind is blessed. Say it to yourself, my mind is blessed. Oh, your mind is blessed. Your thoughts. So David will say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you. Psalm 19. My thoughts are blessed. Hallelujah. So listen. God designed you to be fruitful from the works of your hands. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. God designed you. Ooh, hallelujah. Please help me look at your neighbor and tell him, you are fruitful by design. Praise God. I said what? You are what? You are fruitful. How? By design. And God blessed them. The word blessing means to be empowered to prosper. And I said to you, the word prosper is not money. The word prosper means what? To make advancement, to make progress. So, ma, God has blessed you or empowered you to make progress. So if you are doing business, listen to me. And I'm not teaching you prosperity, I'm teaching you scripture. If today you are selling things, you sell things, and you are selling and you are carrying them in handbag, to make progress, Hadot means what? Means you are empowered to have a shop. You didn't hear what I said. And I wish somebody received it. To make, if you are selling things, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are selling things and you are carrying it in your hand, what does it mean? It means that you are at a certain level, is that right? In the prosperity of that business. That the destiny of that business may be that you ought to have your own shop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when the Bible says, and God blessed them, means God gave them or enabled them to be able to make progress in that business. I want you to look at that thing you are doing and pronounce a blessing over it right now. Look at that thing you are doing and say, I receive the capacity to advance, to make progress, to move to the next dimension in the thing that I'm doing. And I receive, let that capacity be manifested in me. Let that capacity be manifested in me. And God empowered them. You are already empowered for it. You are empowered for it. Hallelujah. It is not a prophecy. It is what God said about you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm not trying to prophesy to you. I'm trying to tell you. In fact, you are not trying to receive it. You are only trying to manifest it. You're not trying to receive it. And God blessed them. And God told them, this is how the blessing is going to look like. You will be fruitful. You will multiply. Oh, bless God. Tonight I decree over this house. What is small becomes great. What is great becomes multiplied. All over the city, all over the nation. Hallelujah. All over the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. All over the nations of the earth. Sit down. Did you notice? Are you hearing what I'm saying? One time I had to call, I don't remember whether it was the pastors or what. And I said to them, whether it was office staff, you know, we were praying. And they were praying and they were saying, Lord, we take the notice. And I said, look, I said, God gave us an assignment for the Northeast. We are not limited to the Northeast. Stop this Northeast thing. God gave us an assignment, but we are not limited to the Northeast. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? God said, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and toward the uttermost parts of the earth. So one day I went to my Bible dictionary and I checked, what does the word uttermost means? And it has two meanings. One, it means to the center of a thing. The other one means to the end fringes of that thing. Hallelujah. So, you know what? Pastor Mao, very soon I'll be speaking in Solomon Islands. Have you heard of Solomon Islands before? I'm looking for some strange places to preach. I'm not looking for the normal places. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. One day I heard of a place called Man Island. You know that Pastor Chris has that strange grace. Strange grace. One day I was talking to him, he said, he's going to the island of man. So I went to Google it. You know when he's talking, I acted like I know. I say, oh yeah. When I left, I checked, what is the island of man? There's a place called island. He preaches in strange places. So get ready, we're going to Bahamas for conference. When we finish, then we lift up our leg under a coconut tree. Hallelujah. I'm talking about me, but I don't know about you. I said, I'm talking about me, but I don't know about you. He said, to the uttermost, are you hearing what I'm saying? To the uttermost parts of the earth. So I shared with people that I was teaching one day. And after service, I just saw a chat. And somebody from Germany just called, says, I was listening to your message and I was blessed. And I had you made an announcement that where you people are buying rods. Please, can you send me an account number so that I can this thing? I got one crazy invitation, Pastor Mao, from the uttermost part. So, strange. I told God I want some strange places. Everybody preaches in UK, in America. I want some strange places. Strange places. Praise God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Even this, my birthday, I got gifts from strange nations. Yes, from the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. So you are designed for fruitfulness. Look, I didn't receive that. I said, when you wake up in the morning and business doesn't look like it's working, remind yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't know the meaning of it. If they dropped you in a desert, sir, oh, shakabaya sote. The Bible says, where is that scripture? The Bible says, we are of them who are set on pilgrimage. The Bible says, for we are them that pass through the valley of Baca. Please get me that scripture. He says, we pass through the valley of Baca. He said, and when we pass through the valley of Baca, we turn it into a well. The valley of Baca is a dry valley, sir. He said, we are them whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. In other words, we are going somewhere in God. That even on that journey, if we arrive at a place that is dry, we don't leave it like that. We turn it into a well. In other words, are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, I am not destined. The circumstances around me don't determine my fruitfulness. Look at it. It says, give me the verse before this one. Let me show you something. I was right. I didn't know. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them. Another version says, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. But I love this. It says, whose heart are of them, which means it's not everybody. Whose heart are of them? Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. So you can go to, listen to me, let me tell you something. Every city is fruitful if God sent you there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. It is not, we don't chase opportunities. Opportunities chase us. The fruitfulness is in us. It's not in what is happening around us. We are the ones that carry the fruitfulness. God did not bless the garden and said, be fruitful. God blessed the man and said, be fruitful. You are looking, you are chasing, you call it green, where, no. You are the green pasture. You are the green pasture. Hallelujah. Wherever I go, I'm the carrier of the blessing. So I can enter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are designed and empowered to be a blessing. Anywhere I drop, sir, something must open up. Anywhere I drop, something must open up. See, can I say something to you? Don't donate your power to circumstances and locations. Don't give your power to circumstances and situations. Don't donate your power to locations. Somebody's saying that, hi, if I was in Port Harcourt, you shock, you will be surprised. I just arrived to Port Harcourt first. So there was famine in the land. God said to Isaac, do not leave this land. Sow in this land. That's a word for somebody. Sow in this land. And Isaac sowed in that land. And he reaped 100-fold. But do you know, all around him there was no reaping. There was no harvest. He was the only man going home with a harvest. It is not the location, sir. It's not the location. You are greater than your location. Your location is blessed to have you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that's why scripture will say to you that you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Move out of this service and hear it out to Gombe. I am the salt of Gombe State. Tell Gombe State, treat me nicely. Open your treasures for me. You need me. Didn't you hear that scripture said that if you go to any city to preach the gospel and they reject your gospel, he said, take out your shoe. Did you hear? Did you hear it? He said, it shall be a witness against them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your eyes open to see the possibilities that exist in you for the place where you are. Amen. So there's what is called the fruit of your hands. That is productivity. Amen. And listen to me. We are all designed to be productive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11. I want to drop something for us today so that I can run over the other ones, and I'm coming back to productivity. Because part of the assignment the Lord gave me for this year. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to walk with your own hands as we commanded you. Hallelujah. And you study to be quiet. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to walk with your own hands as we commanded you. Next verse. Let me see what next verse. Even though this day. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Now listen to me. There is a philosophy of work in scripture. And I started to teach it sometime, some Sundays back. I said the reason why God wants you to walk, is that right? There are two reasons why God wants you to walk. One, God wants you to walk as part of the dominion mandate. That is that God put you on the earth to rule this earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you exert rulership over the earth. Are you understanding me? So it's important that you walk to exert rulership on the earth. Number two, is so that you can be a blessing to the people who are around you. So when God called Abraham, he said, I will bless you what? So that you might be a blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God doesn't want you only. Listen to me. If all that you are is that you are blessed, you haven't fulfilled the assignment. You are just doing 50%. The Bible says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Listen to me. Make that prayer short. Say, Father, make me a blessing. You cannot be a blessing unless you are blessed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the moment you begin to enter, and I had Bishop Fredado say this many years ago, and it changed my thinking. He said something. He said, every time he has a need, he asks God to reveal to him something that God wants done so that he can do it. I don't know whether you understand it. If you want to give something to Pastor Hawa, and Pastor Hawa is 1,000 kilometers away, and I come to you, I say, I understand you want to give something to Pastor Hawa. You say, yes. I say, can I take it for you? And you give me the phone to take it to her. After you give me, what are you going to do? You will give me transport money. Isn't it so? You will give me feeding money. Isn't it so? You might even give me pocket money. Isn't it so? When I take the message to Pastor Hawa, and I give, what am I going to give Pastor Hawa? Is it the transport money? Is it the pocket money? Is it the feeding money? What I'm going to give Pastor Hawa, what? Is the message you wanted to give Pastor Hawa. But all other things become mine. So scripture says to seek ye first. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you do what God, are you hearing what I'm saying? So Bishop Fred said, whenever I want something from God, I ask God what he wants to do. And I say, Lord, let me be the one to do it. He said, then he made a statement. That was how I understood. He said, there has never been a water pipe that water is passing through that is dry. So God said to him, I want to bless you. But when I bless you, I don't want you to hoard it. I want you to be a blessing. Look at your neighbor, say, you can be a blessing. You can be a blessing. You can be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be a blessing. You can be a blessing. What a joy to 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 be a blessing. So God instituted work. Look at the last part. He said that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without. That is that if there are people that are people outside are going to see you, then he said, and that ye may have lack of nothing. That means that God wants you to have so that you can be a blessing, that you might walk honestly to them that don't have. That's why if you read my book, Stewardship, I said everything that God gives you, everything that does not belong to you. In everything God gives you, there's a part of what God gives you that is not your own. There is he that gathereth, yet he scatters. Then there is he that scattereth and yet gathereth. There is he that holdeth more than is due. It is not that he held it that is the problem. The problem was that he held it more than is due. And the Bible says, and tendeth. So that one that he held that he should not hold is tending him. You know what it means to tend him? Tended him, but not unto good things. He tended him to poverty. Tended him to poverty. Hallelujah. Anybody receiving from the Lord tonight? 2 Thessalonians chapter 6, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 6, 12. Is this 6 or... Sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, I'm going to read it from different translations. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord. Do you have the New King James? Do you have the New King James? Instead of just doing King James and then. We're going to look at it from the New King James and from the NIV. The New King James and the NIV. I'll show us something tonight that will be a blessing to you. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother. If there's a brother around you, look at him. Look at him suspiciously. Look at him suspiciously. But I hope you know that this is not referring to only brothers. So if there's a sister or two around you, look at her suspiciously. Look at the person with a bombastic side eye. Hallelujah. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw. Act like you want to withdraw from that person. That you withdraw from every brother or sister who walks disorderly. The Bible will explain what it means to walk disorderly. And not according to the tradition which he received from us. Next verse, we're into verse 12. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Next verse. Nor did we eat anyone's bread. How? Free of charge. Now, how many of you are in church that you do a certain business? And you brought it for me, and I asked you to bring that thing for me, and I paid you. How many of you? You do something, and you brought it for me, and I paid you. How many of you? You offered to give me for free, and I paid you. You know why? There's nobody in this church that does a business that I requested for his or her service and took it for free, even when they gave me for free. And I will tell them, I said, the day that you thought about it on your own, and you did it for me, without me asking. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I will accept it. But if you are cooking and I told you to prepare something and bring, I will pay. He says, nor did we eat anyone's bread. How? Free of charge. Those of you brethren that target brethren, you have but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Listen to me. I want you to hear what I'm saying. When you are in a community, are you hearing what I'm saying? The desire of everyone in that community is for everyone in that community to prosper. Please listen to me. If you are a family, if you put that stay here, you're a family. You have one father, one mother, and you're about 9 here, and 4 of you or 5 of you are not doing well, and just 2 of you are doing well, all of you are poor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your prayer must be that every one of you must do well. Because anyone that is not doing well becomes a burden to the ones that are doing well. So whatever the little those ones that are doing well have must be shared with those that don't have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? At the end of the day, the prosperity of everybody is actually to the benefit of everybody. This idea of I want to be the main man and the only man is actually something that will take from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So listen to me. This idea of having supermen is not a kingdom idea. It's not kingdom. It's the flesh at work. So that you can oppress every other person and you are the one that is master. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Next verse. Not because we do not have authority to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not walk, ask your neighbor, are you okay? Ask your neighbor, are you okay? If he says, I'm not okay, say, how are you eating? Who is giving you food? Hallelujah. Tell him who is giving you food free of charge. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says that you should not walk disorderly, that disorderly means a man who is not walking. Means a man who is not walking. I traveled, I came back, and they went to pick me at the park. When they dropped, it just dropped from the car. There were like 12 people, all these motor park touts that gathered the place. Do you want this? And when I entered the car, I was sad in my heart. My sadness was that every one of those 12 people that surrounded that car are potential terrorists. They are potential robbers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are, every one of them, my heart was broken. If those people went to school, if those people were engaged meaningfully, all of those people, the majority of them are already on drugs. Listen, if anyone will not walk, what? Neither should he eat. So if you are eating and you are not walking, help me look at that person with a bombastic side eye. If you are eating and you are not walking, I'm not going to say more. We need to find the person that is feeding you without giving you work to do. And I said something to you. I said you don't have to have the work of your dream. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did I say? You don't have to have the work of your dream or your dream job. No, see, listen to me. I will show you. Nobody begins from his dream job. Everybody begins from whatsoever thine hand findeth to do. Praise God. Because there's a law. I will show you the law of work. The law of work says that in all labor, there is profit. Are you hearing me? Did you hear what I said? The law of work says what? In all what? Labor, there is profit. Some of the staff went to my house to help me do some work in my office. So and then, when they were working, and I said to them, this was our first office. So I told them, I said, this was where Minister Adam's table was. This was where Pastor Iba's table was. This was where Mao came and started working with me. I said, this was the first office. We were all in that one room office. From that one room office, we moved to the container. The container that is here in Trinity was one of our offices. Yes, heat almost killed me inside that container. Jesus. For those of you that remember very well, there was a time we took wood, we paneled it with wood. It was not for beauty, it was heat. It was heat. In fact, the first person to work with me in that container was Betty, Shedrach's sister. She was the first person that worked with me in that container. Heat almost killed us in that container. But at least we moved from the office to somewhere outside. It was from that office, from that container, that we moved to the office in Federal Locus. And I remember the day we landed in that office. If you talk in one place, the other you will hear yourself in the other place because of there was nothing and there was nobody. You will hear echo. If you talk one place, you hear it the other place. I remember one day, I looked at the office. I called my pastor. I said, sir, we just got an office. He said, oh, congratulations. I said, it's not a matter of congratulations, sir. Sir, this is what we must pay annually. He said to me, he said, look. He said, are you working there? I said, yes. He said, if you work there, if you are working, it will pay itself. Listen to me. Every one of you that is looking for a shop, you are afraid of shop. Don't be afraid of shop. If you are working in that shop, the shop will produce the money that you need for it. He told me, he said, don't be afraid. He said, if it is, and I have heard him say it one time. He said, if you are working, are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, if you are working, he said, it will produce the money to pay it. Do you know, I am telling you, since the day we entered, sir, till the day we left, I never took a single offering to pay for that office. In all labor, there is what? There is profit. Hey, we use that place in Federal Locus. We use that place in Federal Locus. Some of you that remember, we were keeping poultry to help pay for the rent. We kept poultry at the back to help pay for the rent when we started. In that place, we did all discipleship classes, leadership classes. We did vigils in that place. Those of you who aren't afraid, you are people that tried. Because we used that place. We maximized it. Lo and behold, God has brought us to a large place. There's the law of work. In all labor, there's what? The Bible didn't tell us the size of the profit. He simply said, there's profit. In all labor, there's profit. Don't stay without something to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. And listen to me. I want to show you something and then we'll close. There's the law of work and there's the law of increase at work. The law of increase, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 14. The law of increase. We start from Luke chapter 16, the law of increase. He that has more shall be given to him. But he that does not have, listen to me. Have you noticed that if you are in a place where work is going on, opportunity show? Have you noticed that? That if you are in a place where part of the reason why you should have an office is because opportunities will come to you if you have a place of work. Do you notice that people can walk into your shop and ask you for a product that you are not offering? Then it will occur to you that you need to bring that product. Am I talking to the right people here? You just have a place of business. You have never thought of a particular idea. Somebody will walk into the place and say, do you have this? Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that is sending angel to tell you this is the next thing you should be doing. Do you know that you are in that place? They will come and say, all the people who are here, there's this form a cooperative. If you are living in your house, it will not come and meet you there. Find a place where work is going on. Opportunity will find you. Position yourself where there is productivity. Position yourself where there is productivity. Let me tell you something. I want to do a teaching. I don't know whether I'll do it this week. I want to do a teaching at the business roundtable. But I want to talk to you about palace, how to live, how palace people live. Do you know that? Let me tell you something. Do you know that 50% of the people who take their children to Ivy League schools don't take them there so that they can study? They take them there so that they can network. That is why you will find, are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why you will find an El Rufai that is a very good friend of a Pastor Bakari. I don't know whether you understand. Why did they meet? They will tell they met at Harvard. They met at Yale. Are you hearing me? That's why you just see people, strange people. They have a place where they met. How did they meet? They met in a place where it mattered. Two years ago, three of my classmates were promoted to full generals in the Nigerian Army. It means something. Full generals. It means something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why somebody will go and station his office in the most expensive part of town. Why do you have shop? The shop is one small cubicle. You are paying 10 million. Why? It's not the shop. It's the network that shop offers. I was listening to a particular person giving a testimony. I don't know why this is the part that's interesting some people. I was listening to somebody. He said he used to escort somebody to go to a particular club, well-known club in Lagos. He just used to go there. They just go there, they play polo, they play squash, you know. He said, and his company ordered for something. And when that thing was supplied, all the people that they thought they will market it to and will buy it, nobody wanted to order for the thing. Then he met somebody in that place who their company uses that product. So he brought in like 32 of that thing. They imported it. So when they went and marketed it around, nobody bought it. One day he was there and he saw this particular man that their company uses that product. He said, he walked up to the man and said, sir, we have this product. I don't know whether your company will be interested in it. He said, he gave him a number. He said, call this person. Tell him that I said, you have this product that he should order from you. He said he made the call. And the person said to him, do you have up to 100 of it on ground? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you are in the right place, are you hearing me? There are opportunities that show up because you are in the right place. There are doors that open up because you are in the right place. May God put you in the right place. May God position you in the right place. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. In all labor, are you hearing me? In all labor, there is profit. Do you know that if you are doing POS, it's a labor? You are not hearing what I'm saying. That POS that you are doing may be where your husband will find you. It was POS that took you there. But I told you, the Bible didn't tell you the kind of prophet. It just says that what? There's prophet. Which means that if you stay locked up somewhere, increase will not come. That means that there must be something you must decide to do that will bring increase into your life. So, remove the idea of trying to make it big. Start labor. Decide to be a laborer. So, he that has, to him it shall be what? Added. See, for he that does not have, even that which he has, it shall be taken away from him. And then the second law of labor, listen. And let me tell you this. I told you, I said, you don't start necessarily, you start with whatever the hand findeth to do, right? Yes. I want to tell you something about the second law. Listen to me. The second law says that the blessing of the Lord, let me put it this way, the blessing of the Lord is what makes rich. Is that all right? That means that no matter how small what you are doing, what you want is for God's blessing to be on that small. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. This is one of the greatest principles of my life. I am not afraid of small. I'm not afraid of small. That is why if you have followed me closely, my greatest teachings is when I have a small group. I am never afraid of small. I'm never afraid of small. Because I understand the principle of the blessing. The blessing of the Lord. Are you hearing me? See, listen to me. You see this principle at work in the life of David. When they met David, what was he doing? He was tending sheep. The Bible tells us the size of the sheep. Few. Who did you leave those few sheep for? Is that all right? Do you know that the only thing David was doing when they met him was blowing flute? He was blowing flute and playing guitar. Then there was a need. The Bible says they went to the desert. They went to the wilderness. They went and brought him. So he began by what? Tending sheep, playing flute, right? The next time we meet with David, David is killing a Goliath. The blessing of the Lord. You can see the graph. It maketh rich. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From that place, the next time we hear of David, he's the commander of the army, right? The next time we hear of David, he is king in Hebron. The next time we hear of David, he has arrived at the fullness of God's plans and purposes for him. He is king in Jerusalem. Listen to me. Start with where you are. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying. I really need you to get this. Begin this idea of there's no work. I don't have what to do. Listen to me. God does not bless nothing. Hello? What did I say? God does not bless what? Nothing. You don't have what to do. Go and give free service. Go and volunteer somewhere. Your job is, the work you do is the excuse God is looking for to bless you. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I said the job, are you hearing what I'm saying? The job you are doing is the excuse God is looking for to be a blessing to you. You can go to an office, you're not doing anything, just hang around. They just send you. You're not doing anything. You're not an employee. They just send you around. One day the boss wants to travel. They say, come and escort me. Your life has changed. Come and escort me. Your life has changed. But this idea of, I don't have anything to do. What I do, you're sleeping at home. I don't have anything to do. What I do, you're staying at home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. What's his name? Innocent. Innocent finished service. He was not doing anything. Innocent will come to church. He will come here, buy the instruments. I don't really know what he was doing. Whether he was, I'll see him around the equipment, around these instruments. Every day I walk in, I see him around. I call him and say, what are you doing? I call him and say, what are you doing? He said, no, that he has finished service and he's not doing anything. Why are you always coming? But he's always coming here to find something. I said, okay, start coming to the office. Anything that, if I have anything, I'll give you to do. That's how Innocent. I can't tell you certain things. Innocent was collecting allowance from Trinity and collecting allowance from church. Because none of the two can justify paying him. So they we couldn't put him on payroll. So Trinity was giving something, church was doing something. Until he has fully entered Trinity as the major admin staff there. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Don't sit down at home. Even if you don't have anything, find somewhere and show up there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Show up somewhere. The Bible says they met some people. They were idle, but the people went out of their house and came to the marketplace where commerce was going on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus came. He said, what are you doing? He said, nobody has hired us. He said, nobody has hired you. He said, go into my vineyard. He said, and I will, when he came to pay, he paid them the same with the people. Do you know what God judged? God did not judge their labor. God judged their intentions. God did not judge their labor. God judged their intentions. They came out whenever that people were sleeping inside. They came out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please, young people, listen to me. Don't join those people who are saying there's nothing. The Bible says when men are saying there's a casting down, you be saying there's a lifting up. That let that be your confession. And let that be your posture in life. When men are saying there's a casting down, don't join the people that are saying there's a casting down. You say what? There's a lifting up. Praise God. This year, we come against every syndrome of unemployment in the house. We speak into the atmosphere. We call for the places that belong to us. We call for the positions that belong to us. We call for the spots that belong to us. We call for the opportunities that belong to us. We come through the doors that have been slated for us. In the name of Jesus, we bless the work of the hands of every man. We decree that our hands are blessed. We decree that our hands are blessed. Our coming in and our going out is blessed. We are blessed in the city. We are blessed in the country. We are blessed. We decree it so. We decree that the word of the Lord comes to pass fully in those things that we have heard, in those things that we have seen, in those things that we have believed, in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree fullness. We decree increase. We are fruitful. We multiply. We replenish the earth. We subdue it. We take dominion in the mighty name of Jesus. We call forth massive increases into our lives, into our ministries, into the things that God has called us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. The fruit of our bodies are blessed. The fruit of our mind is blessed. The fruit of our hands are blessed. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.